A full one? In case I go through, I might go through this one and that one, yeah. Oh, you didn't know if it was trustworthy. If my kids had a hold of it, yeah, it wouldn't be trustworthy. There's a lid from a bottle of, what do you call it, a tube of toothpaste. We can look down in our drain, and I can see it down there. Does anybody have any ideas how to get that out?
Yes.
Bubble gum on a stick? Yep. Bubble gum on a stick. Andrea, write that down.
Chew the gum first.
Oh, okay, it's got to be, yeah, yep, gotcha. For the last two Sundays, our live streaming wasn't working properly, and Kayla's been able to get that going again, so that if you want to, you can go on. Like this morning, Mike Howell said, the way he looked at it was there 48 views this morning? He said he thought there was 48 views, so he thought maybe 48 people missed church this morning because of the weather and was watching it. He said there was three watching it, and so that's back. It was working again this morning, and I've just heard a couple testimonies from folks of people that were sick and unable to come, and they just so appreciated being able to watch it and sort of fellowship with us in that way, even if they're not here. I did hear some comments about my beard. They said, I saw this guy walking around up front, and I didn't even know who he was, and then when you started talking, well, that's Pastor Josh with no beard because, you know, I shaved it there. But and then I guess people see if you're in the front rows, it gets the backs of your heads and the few people maybe as you're shaking hands. But one of the neat things, due to copyright laws, we've not legally been able to put the music. You cannot record the music. We can sing it all live. We pay a licensing fee to put the words up on the screen, but we weren't supposed to post video or audio on the internet recorded. We're not even supposed to record it for ourselves, have a recording. Caleb did some research and found out that that license is only $60 a year. So that's not cost prohibitive. So the deacons went ahead and approved that tonight. So we will be able to put the entire service live streamed on the internet. We don't have to mute out the singing like we did. So thank the Lord for that $60. And I did get a weird text just a few minutes ago, and I wanted to read it to you because maybe you can help me figure this out. Not going to make it. This DURT road is bad. And I don't even know who it is. There's no name. All I see is a phone number. I'm not going to make it. This dirt road is bad. 531. Have no clue who it is. I said, tell me if this was the right answer. I understand. That's all I said. I didn't know what else to say. I understand. I was going to have like Luann. She could go through the book and look at everybody's phone numbers to see who it is. Yeah, I don't know, but I understand. I also had one from him a few weeks ago. Well, actually, a couple months ago, it said Happy Father's Day. I wrote back, thanks. Still don't know who it is. Still don't know who it is. And I also got a text from Mark. Mark Michael. Yeah, he texted me this afternoon. He said, well, I can read his text too. That's the beauty of these phones. Okay, here he goes, hey, it's Mark, 124. Which Mark? I wrote. He said, the long-haired hippie. So I put, laugh out loud, Mark Michael, how are you? And he hasn't written back yet, but so I thought that was kind of neat. Just what you can do with text messaging. That's what he wrote. I know you don't believe me. You do believe me. Yeah, that's what it says. Hey, it's Mark. Caleb, we need the technology so I can throw these texts up on the screen. Everybody could see it. The long-haired hippie. Ledessa. The hearing people text. Well, you can speak into it, and it turns it into a text and sends it. That's how they get a lot of misspellings, too. I had one other thing just for church, a prayer request. I don't know if you've mentioned this or if it's been mentioned tonight yet. I did hear from Ken Kishbaugh. Marge Miller had called Ken. Don's not doing well at all. He's in a special room in ICU, isolation. They think he's got some type of an infection at one of the places where his surgery was. I know he had 3 separate incisions. It was all done like robotically, orthoscopically, is that what they call it? But they had one bigger spot by his belly button where they actually pulled the bowel out. That was removed. So one of those 3 incisions or someplace in him has an infection. And they're concerned it might be C. diff. And that's what Shelby struggled with for a long, long time. So we need to really lift up Don Miller tonight. He had been home, hadn't been eating, drinking. So that's what he's at right now, the hospital, getting rehydrated, getting some energy back. Ken made it sound that Marge had talked to him that it was not a good situation.
Kish's had the opportunity to go south. The doctor released Shirley?
Shelby.
So they got out before the weather. They're already down there. Things are great. Second, did you get an update from Daly?
Yep.
Dick Daly about June?
Yep. I actually went and saw them in the hospital last night. Nope, nothing more. She's just, he just said, what was the word he used?
Ornery.
All I heard was lively or something. I heard lively. But no, she was very nice, friendly. The nurse's name, I got to meet the nurse last night. Her name was Coco. And she was a very nice, pleasant lady. I said, is that your real name? She said, no, that's not a real name, but her grandpa named her that when she was a baby. So it was a neat little story. We got to chat with her. I do have one other thing, but I would like to stop here and maybe one or two of you pray for Don Miller. I think our brother in Christ needs lifted up, especially right now. So is a couple people, would you be willing to volunteer to pray for Don Miller? Anybody? Mark? Maybe one more? Anybody? Ed, all right, go ahead, guys. Thank you for that. I keep thinking of other things that I want to update you folks about as well. Roger Kahn's family, his stepdaughter Jennifer, has had Crohn's, and she is doing a little bit better today. They had her. Actually, Roger showed up this afternoon, and after everybody was gone, he plowed the parking lot. So I chatted with him for a few minutes. He spread some salt and did all the sidewalks and the daycare sidewalk. And he said they had marked out on his daughter, on her stomach, with a marker where they were going to cut her open. And they're postponing that because her test numbers are better. So just continue to pray for her. And then his stepson, Craig, that passed away. I'm glad I didn't announce this morning when the funeral was going to be because I didn't have a clear picture. He had told me Monday a visitation, Tuesday the funeral. He did not mean tomorrow. He means next Monday. Roger clarified that with me this afternoon. It's going to be at Dreyer's next Monday, a visitation, I think, from 2 to 6 or 2 to 8, and then the funeral is going to be sometime Tuesday morning, and he had asked me to do that as well. So pray for that situation. He was pretty choked up on the phone when I spoke with him. I was actually at U of M when he asked me to do the funeral. Question, comment? Okay, just update those prayer requests. Andrea's brother has Crohn's, and we need to put him on the prayer sheet. I don't know if I think he is, but if he's not, he's down to 95 pounds, folks. He's been here to church a few times. He should not be that small. He told me, I think at Christmas time, he was at the doctor's, he weighed 100 pounds, and I said, well, was that just your clothes? He goes, yeah, come to think of it, it was my clothes and shoes. I said, well, you're more like 95. And I asked my dad, my sister Caitlin was 76 pounds when she was almost dead. So David is close. We need to be praying for him and trying to help him. And Andrea's sister, Kara, has gestational diabetes as she's pregnant. So just pray. A lot of situations, for sure. I did have one other thing that I just want to keep you folks informed and talking about. We had our deacons meeting tonight, of course, and we've been accepting resumes for possible youth pastors, youth ministers, and we have a couple men that have sent in resumes and filled out questionnaires, a James Bell and a Cody Wheeler. So if you want to just, as you're thinking about that, maybe praying for our church, just mention those two names. Lord, is it Cody? Is it James? Is it somebody else? We're going to try to get some more information about those two guys in the coming weeks. We sort of slowed up a little bit with Christmas happening, but I think Cody sent his answers the 22nd. So we just printed those out and gave those to the deacons tonight. But I think that's everything that I have regarding some announcements, church business, and whatnot. We have our big annual business meeting where we have all the reports and everything the 24th, so a couple weeks from now. But grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. It's only 3 pages tonight. 3 pages. 7 points. 3 pages. I think these are just some, I don't know if I necessarily want to call them pillars of the faith, but they are points that are very relevant to some things that we discussed this morning and in the last couple weeks. Well, not Christmas, but since we've been in 1 Peter, these are some points that I think are very relevant to the study that we've been doing. And they're just sort of some basics, but sometimes it's good, even for the choir, right, to get those basics and just go back to God's Word, be reminded of some of these very important theological concepts in the Scriptures. Number one is we are saved by grace through faith alone. We are saved by grace through faith alone. And I think we all know that. Faith, we are given by God faith to believe we are given faith to believe the grace that God gives us. So they are both gifts of God. And because they are gifts from God, no one has reason to boast. What's those verses? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, otherwise we could boast. Okay? So there's no reason we have to boast, because grace and faith are just gifts from God. And this is very important, because that tells us that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of... Is there any verses that tell us that? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. Right? Salvation is of the Lord. Remember Jonah? This was a few years ago when it was at Jonah 2:9. God is the author of salvation. Isn't that what it says, Jonah 2:9? How about Hebrews 12? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, salvation is of the Lord. That means we cannot save ourselves. We don't stand before God based upon our own merit or our own worthiness. When God sees us, he does not see anything that we've accomplished or what we've done. He sees Christ's righteousness that God applies to us. I think that's a pillar of our faith, something that as a church we stand on, and that's one of the things that we sort of operate out of. We are saved by grace through faith alone. Number two, Every command given to us by God in the Bible, even when they are difficult, this is a long one. Every command given to us by God in the Bible, even when they are difficult, they were given to us by God so that our joy may be full. I know, very long point. Very long point. How about Psalm 16:11? Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, a lot of things in scriptures are very difficult for us as fleshly human beings to live out and to accomplish. But God did not give us so that he could sort of grind us down and smash us down and wear us out. He gave us all these things so we could have joy. And he says, I'm going to show you the path to life, the path to joy. And it's when you're close to God, that's when you're going to find your greatest joy. Turn to John chapter 15. This was John 15, 11. We were in Psalm 16, 11. Now John 15, 11. And if you jump on a Bible program and you type in joyful, not joyful, J-O-Y-F-U-L, but joy and the word full separately, you're going to find a half dozen references. Okay, John 15, 11, I picked the one out of Psalms and I picked this one. This one is Jesus' words. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Now, Jesus, he was one of those men, right? He's God, that told us a lot of commands. Some of those commands are difficult to follow. But he says, I've told you all these things so that you can have real, true joy, that your joy may be full, that you will be safer and more secure. Now, why would this be repeated over and over? Well, because God is not glorified when we're miserable. Okay. My son asked me on the way home, we went to lunch this afternoon, and I don't know if it was Tommy or Waylon, maybe they'll remind me, I'm sure. One of them said, why is God making it cold and giving us the snowstorm? Why is God, okay, thanks, buddy. Well, I tried to explain, he's certainly not throwing a snowball at us to steal our joy. I tried to explain to Tommy that's just part of the way God designed the planet. There's seasons and times and seasons, and we need seasons for things to grow. And really it comes down to everything that God does, it's for our joy, it's for our benefit. Now, remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. That grace right there, when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, some theologians call that special grace, where God comes down and he specifically calls you to salvation. Special grace. Anybody ever heard that before? Special grace. Well, when God designed the planet and gave us trees and set up the photosynthesis and the water cycle and all the seasons, that's something that the theologians call common grace. See, everybody gets to experience that. Even if they're not called to salvation, they get to experience that. And God did that for our joy, and all those other people that aren't saved, they sort of get to experience that joy too. So everything God does is for our joy and benefit. And God giving us his word. God creating this world, that's just some amazing grace that's available to everyone to open. So in this just discussion of some basics tonight, we've learned about special grace and common grace. Here's number three, sort of something that we need to know for certain. Number three, God wants us to move into a spirit-led and spirit-filled lifestyle. Where, regardless of where we are at now or where we were in the past, he always wants us to move into a more spirit-led, spirit-filled lifestyle. And having that, being spirit-led, is more than just knowing facts about Scripture. Now, we've never done this, but I think it'd be fun sometime. I'd like to get me versus Don and Krista in a Bible trivia challenge or something. Wouldn't that be fun? Maybe we'll get Joanne in there and or Valerie Allen. We'd have this, like, you know, we'd have a big clash. There's some people we know that know a lot of facts about the Bible. I mean, we start rattling off names and places and people. Yeah, I know these. You know, I know that. The Family Life Radio, when I was young, they used to do this game called Stump the Announcer. And I called in lots of times. We won it. And they'd only let you win once a month. And it would take you a long time of calling in every morning because the phone would be busy. And then you'd have to land perfect for them to answer your phone call. And I won it, I don't know, 6 to 10 times. And the way you beat them is you'd pick a number. Like, how many people died in this battle on this day? Yeah, what? Okay, they would just take a stab in the dark, okay? And that's how you beat those guys. I always picked a number. But we may know a lot of those facts and details and things about the Scripture, and that does not mean we are Spirit-led. Flip over a couple pages to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And this is Jesus actually confronting the Pharisees. And these are some pretty harsh words. But these Pharisees, if you recall, were men that knew the Bible backwards and forwards. The scribes were sort of friends with them. Part of their job was recording the Scriptures. They were constantly in the Word of God. When King Herod, when the wise men showed up, since we mentioned that this morning, and they said, well, where's this place? Herod says, hey, scribes, where's that place? And they searched the Scriptures, and they said, well, it's Bethlehem. And these men just knew the Word of God. And Jesus confronts them, and he says, you search the Scriptures, John 5:39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Some people, I read the Bible. I know it's in the Bible. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Go on. You think in them you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, those people, they knew the Word of God backwards and forwards. Huge sections of it probably memorized. They would put it on little tiny pieces of paper and put it in a box and strap it to their head. There would be other parts of their garment that would have Scripture. I mean, these guys, they just were committed to the Word of God, but they weren't actually following it. They weren't Spirit-filled. They weren't Spirit-led. They didn't really care to know and implement what God's Word actually said. So God wants us to move into that direction, a Spirit-led and a Spirit-filled lifestyle. You see, the Christian life is much more than factual knowledge. It is one that's guided by the Spirit. Number three. Spirit-filled lifestyle. Number four, external sinful behavior is not the issue. It's a symptom. Sins that we commit, that outward sin, that's not the issue. It's a symptom of something else that's going on inside. A symptom that we need to treat. It's a disease. The disease isn't lust. The disease isn't gossiping. The disease isn't hatred. The disease isn't jealousy or whatever. The disease is failing to see God as being the one who's in control and putting our hope totally in him. One pastor put it this way, the disease is idolatry. We're putting something else above God. Rejecting our wants and our feelings, and what we do is we reject that and push that aside, and instead we put on God's wants for us. That's the way to cure it, the disease and the symptoms. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Some of you probably know where I'm going with this one. Galatians, Ephesians, Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? The symptoms. They're going to be all spelled out. But the disease is not worshiping the Spirit and putting up him where it needs to be. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is there any symptoms there that you're like, well, I would never do those? But then there's some you're like, wait a second, I might have a couple of them. Might have some of those. Well, look at the next verse. The fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who have crucified the flesh, right? Crucified, that's what God is asking us to do. That's how we cure the disease, by crucifying that flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's how we cure those symptoms. We go for the heart of the problem. We will never be Spirit-led people if we reject God's plans for our lives. And what's God's plans? Right there. Love, joy, peace. Put off all them other things. It's God's plans for our life. Number five, God is not waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us. If you ever maybe been talking to a small child, they're like, maybe some of these things are fresh on my mind because I'm talking with my children a lot. Was God going to do something to me because, you know, I did this? God's not waiting for us to mess up so he can punish us. I only did 3 quiet times this week, and I didn't invite anyone to church. Am I going to be in trouble? It's not like God's like, all right, you know, constipation for you, diarrhea for you, and he's just sort of throwing out all these diseases, okay? God doesn't hand out illnesses and ailments and to people like it's a joke, okay? Now, this means that every trial and temptation that we face, it's to bring us closer to him. And ultimately, it's to give him the glory. Think of all the outrageous stuff that's been happening in your lives in just the last couple years. Think of it. Each one of us, tons of outrageous things. Not necessarily any of it was to punish you, okay? But all of it, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, was to draw you closer to him and bring glory to his name. Now, what I mean by draw us closer to him is make us more dependent on him. Maybe that would be a better way to put it. Psalm, I didn't even write down the reference. It says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. It's one of my favorite verses. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but God provides what? The victory. Okay? See, we want to be self-reliant, and that's the type of guy I am. You know, I even said that this morning in my sermon. I like to be self-reliant. You know, we can prepare, we can make ready, we can do everything, but ultimately that victory is dependent on the Lord. We have to always remember that. So anything that ever happens in our life is to bring us to the point where we are more reliant and dependent on the Lord. That's just a very pillar of our hopefully a pillar of our church, something that you can always lean on and recall. Number six, I've kind of said everything. Well, did I say it's seven or six? Six and seven are so close. I've said all of this to bring us to this point, John 10:10. We were just in John, but you're going to have to go back there. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Number six is God wants us to have joy. God wants us to find fulfillment in Christ. Now, if your joy is dependent on anything outside of Jesus and God, then you've missed the boat. Because what does Jesus say about all that stuff that's outside of Jesus? What's its aim? It says in that verse, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Now, Christ is the only one who truly wants to give you a joy-filled life. Everything else, they promise a joy-filled life, right? If you drive a Lexus, if you have a huge house with your own pool, and if you have this incredible job, if you're able to go on these vacations, if you're able to do all these things right, you're going to have joy. The Lord's the only one that will deliver. He says that right there, John 10:10. All that other stuff that's promising you joy, it ultimately will kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to give you that life abundantly that you want. A very important concept for us to understand. A promise we must grasp and totally believe in it. And this brings me to point number seven, the last thing, and we're sort of closing up, and this can be our conclusion. And none of this will happen. Actually, we will accept none of this if we don't develop a desire for truth. We must reject untruth. We must embrace the truth of the Word of God. I've just read you all these verses, all these incredible true promises. We have to believe them. They were all found in Scripture. We must come to a place where not only where we understand them, but we just, I have in my notes, embrace. I don't know of any other word. Flip over one page. Hopefully you're still in John. Look at John chapter 8. We were in John quite a bit tonight. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth, it's going to make you free." You know, all these things that we've mentioned tonight sort of, I think they sort of built from the ground up to bring us to this point. Hey, there's a lot of great teaching, a lot of great theology in the Word of God. We got to accept it. We got to believe it. We actually have to build our lives upon it. Everything else, what does the song say? It's sinking sand. It's not stable. And if you've built your foundation on something that's not stable, what's your life going to be like? Unstable, yeah. Of course. Yeah, that makes total sense. So God says, build on the truth. Build on the truth. Any questions, comments, anything? Disagreements. Everybody's hand went up then.
Father, we are so thankful for the privilege again of being in your house. I thank you for Pastor Josh and the way that he is just tender to listen to you and give us what you have for us. Thank you for the joy that you do give us. Help us, Father, to desire the truth of your word every day. We thank you so much for the privilege of being in it, the privilege of coming before your throne, Father. And again, we pray for those that were mentioned tonight, that you would just especially be with them, especially Brother Don, God, that you would heal him in a way that would just bring glory to your name. Take us home safely, Father, we ask in your precious name. Amen.